what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just all love to watch. Sort of sad, isn't it? But in the best way. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. Give it a listen, won't you? Joining me, as always, is the wonderful and talented and just super, super, super funny Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Well, hello, everybody. Oh, thanks for that lovely introduction.
Well,
Ben,
you are super, super funny. Every time I listen back to the podcast, I'm always like, why am I talking so much? Why is, like, Ronnie is so funny.
Don't and then you just hear me. To the podcast, Ben.
I know. All I do is monologue. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm trying to be more succinct.
Oh, you stop it. We're on episode 195 or something. You're doing great, all right?
Oh, am I? Am I, though?
You think they wouldn't have told you otherwise?
I know. That's true.
They would have been like, fuck you, you dumb C word. Like
I know,
they do on Twitter. You know how that goes.
So, anyway, you can find us on social media all over the place. And if you go to watchwhatcrappens.com, you can see the links to all our social media. We're not going to bore you with all those links right here. But needless to say, if you want to follow us on Twitter and Vine and Instagram or who knows where else, the links are all there. What we will bore you with is information about how you can support our podcast. If you go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, that's Patreon, patreon.com. If you go there and if you donate, you get all sorts of cool goodies. Like you can get access to like our bonus content every week. Every week we do more sort of like chit chat. Bonus content. We have ringtones. We do a hangout. We did a hangout last week that was really fun. We did shots of whiskey on it, I believe, Ronnie. And then
that was really fun.
Yeah, then we went to a gay bar afterwards. Well, that was just me and Ronnie. It wasn't everyone else.
That place was disgusting.
It's bleh. Disgusting. It was
disgusting.
Disgusting. Who does that? It was disgusting. Gross. But anyway, so obviously the main show will always remain free. We have like a lot of donors now, and it's really great. And we have like, I think we have about 500 donors. We are closing in on $800 per episode. And, you know, once we get to 1,000, we're going to do 2 free normal episodes per week, which is really exciting. So I think
that's
all.
Let's do it, everybody.
Let's do it. And then, of course, last but not least, and then we'll get to Bravo, our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, which is, you should like it because it's really awesome. It really is.
Yeah, super duper fun times. We'll be reading from there all throughout the show because there were only 2 shows that we watched this week. So we're light on Crappens material.
But that never stops us from talking ad nauseum about who knows what. It's always the episodes of Crappens when we have fewer shows to talk about that we go the longest. I don't know why.
Yeah, and there was a lot to talk about this week.
There certainly was. Where do you want to start, Ronnie?
Well, I don't care. You pick.
Let's get to pick?
Let's start with Bevs.
That's what I was going to say. I like that. You pick. Let's start with Bevs. You're insincere.
Because I read this article by this fat girl who lost a lot of weight, and it was talking about how fat people are always apologizing for everything and how we need to stop doing that because it's not our fault just because we're fat. And like, I'll go in line at
Ronnie. All right, well, this is a new record. We're 3 minutes into the episode and Ronnie has already disappeared. Are you back, Ronnie?
Yes, my fat girl story broke your Skype.
Yeah.
Okay. My point was, I'm not apologizing. I will go first because just because I'm a fat girl doesn't mean I can't take the initiative when it's offered.
There you go. There you go. Wow.
I'm a proud fat woman.
I love starting the podcast off on such a extreme note of of optimism and empowerment.
Health at every size, motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. Egg salad for everyone.
Yes, man. You better put some mayonnaise in my lunch.
Free tickets to Cafe. You go to Cafe's, you get some eggs out, and then you say, I'm going first. So Beverly Hills was super entertaining this week.
Beverly Hills was pretty effing hysterical.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up our Watch What Crappens thread so I can crib lines from our listeners.
Yeah. Well, let's see. So pretty much the first 25 minutes was this kind of ridiculous conceit where they were doing a scavenger hunt, which played kind of like The Amazing Race, except it's like the kind of like average, pretty easy
the
race.
Average walk.
Yeah, the average.
The average power walk.
The average trot. the average canter. It was like...
But what do they call it? What is the real company name? It's like Fantastic Race.
Yeah, it was called... Yeah, it was like the Fantastic Race. Someone made a joke on our Facebook page last week that they thought it was some like white supremacist. But then,
oh my god, the
Fantastic
Race.
Let it sink in. Let it sink
Yolanda's
in.
Yolanda's like, come to my party. It's called the Superior Race. And it is where we tell Mexicans to learn English.
You know,
and
that's what
make
you have
black
to do.
People stop selling Little Mermaid towels on my property.
Blanca, please tell your friend to stop selling Little Mermaid towels on my property. Oh, Miss is not my friend. No, Blanca, he's your friend. I know
you see him on the bus. Tell him.
Blanca, please tell your cousin to please stop selling Aladdin posters on my property.
He's not my cousin.
No, but he's black. No, your cousin.
It is summer. Please stop selling frozen property when I'm trying to sell my house.
Blanca, please tell your friend to stop selling the Emperor's Last... The Emperor's Last... Blanca, I don't even know what... Emperor's Last Groove. How Stella got her emperor back. Blanca, I don't know these shows you have, but you're selling them on towels on my property.
Oh, I love that their whole plan for the scavenger hunt, these queens are like, everybody will have fun on the scavenger hunt. Just make it about candy and ice cream. Everybody loves candy and ice cream.
And by the way, I would have had a great
please.
Time.
It was like a candy store to an ice cream store to a restaurant.
I know, they went to three locations all on the same block. They didn't even know where Burton Way was. They're like, where's Burton Way? What's Big Santa Monica? What's Little Santa Monica?
That was pretty sad. They all have drivers or they live in the valley. Kim.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Kim didn't even know. Kim thought she was in Oz. She's like, she's a yellow brick road.
Kim's like, if I stop speed walking, everything is going to crash and all the people are going to die on the bus.
She's like, I have a bad news. So yeah, leave me behind. Don't worry. I'll be with
Hey, I'm about to win an Oscar for a movie about a lady addicted to heroin who walks it off on Burton Way. Stop it, Reese Witherspoons.
Hey, me and William Dafoe are just going to stay back here, and then the Vietnamese are going to shoot us. Like, hey, we got out of the helicopter. Please, thanks. Hey, I don't... I'm just... The Schindler's List is happening to me. I can't go far. You go. Save
people. Hey, does everybody see that red rose? It's like Schindler's List.
Hey, there's velociraptors. I'll stay back and distract them. You go to the ice cream store and get safety.
Hey, where are them cancer pills? It's like that Liam Neeson movie I did called Taken. I'm taking them.
Hey... Look out for wolves, because we crash and Liam Neeson's around and he's gonna, their wolves are coming after us. I'm going to stay back here.
Wolves. Kim, the whole way. My knees hurt. My feet hurt. I can't do this. I'm recovering from bronchial candinosis of the liver.
I had a hernia in my knee. Can't walk.
I have an eye AIDS cancer with a cold. Yeah. I need to sit down.
Yeah, I was auditioning for the Doc Hollywood sequel, and I hurt my knees. I can't go fast.
Doc Hollywood. Yeah, Kim was. This was really Kim's episode because
it was.
She really went cuckoo cray cray. I mean, not that she hasn't before, but you know, part of the fun of Kim was that she's like this funny, kind of crazy. And then we find out, oh, she's funny and crazy because she's wasted. And then she sobers up, and so we never see her, but she's still like dusting pictures off with her maid alone in her house being sad and making chicken salad with her hand.
Yeah.
And then the next year was her, we just never saw her because she was insisting she was sober and obviously wasn't and was never on screen. And then she was putting like wardrobes by the pool for whatever reason. And then this year she is back in front of the cameras and it's not working out for her because now she is possibly more sober than she's ever been and she's awful.
Yeah. Well, no. And she's also under Brandy's influence, which is a key factor here. You know, I thought
Kim, and also not sober, let's face it.
Kim was so awful during that scavenger hunt. Like, I felt bad for Eileen because I would have been Eileen. I would have been like the one quietly, extremely competitive, trying to win this thing, but also I wouldn't want to be a bitch to Kim. I want us all to be, you know, whatever. But you can see that Eileen was infuriated. She was like, she wanted to be like, hurry the fuck up, shut up about your knee. We're going 3 blocks. We're just going to an ice cream store. Just get over it. That's me, everyone.
Well,
so look,
you know,
forward
the producers
to, look forward
put
to
them on teams
hunting.
where they'll hate each other, which, I mean, I get why they do that because it's a housewives show and you want to see everybody trip each other and be awful to each other. But no, that's actually not what's most fun about it, especially this show. This show's kind of most fun when they're just being ridiculous and laughing. Like, right. My favorite scene of this show of all time was when Lisa went to the DMV with Cedric.
Really?
That was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. Because Lisa really has never, you can just tell she's never done it. And the DMV really is fucking scary here. It is not cute. It is scary. And she really looked disgusted and terrified the whole time, but was trying to be classy and nice, but she couldn't. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, I like stuff like that. I think that's what's really funny.
I don't know.
Get me wrong. I like drunk ass Taylor crawling out of a suitcase and then, you know, like secretly accusing her husband of abuse until he kills himself when he finds out. That she's been doing that. I mean, I like all that too, but
I don't know. I think that this show excels when it comes to fighting. When these women fight, when they actually fight, it's usually serious because these women are just savvy enough to kind of like keep it together. I mean, that's why Carlton and Joyce were so bad last season because they instigated fights that felt like they were for TV. But when these women fight, they generally are like they're fighting because they are pissed off, with the exception of Brandy, who will fight with a stick, you know? But, like, everyone else, like, when Kyle starts screaming, she's usually been pushed to a point, you know? And same with anyone else. And there's usually some deeper thing going on that pushes them there. Like, I mean, next week we're going to see Lisa Rinna throw a glass of water at Kim, thank God.
And then lunge at her like she's going to beat the shit out of her. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah.
And Kim is ready. Kim's ready to fist fight. Like, she is not scared. I was just rewatching the clip on BravoTV.com.
Yeah.
And Kim's going there. Like, she showed – I assumed that Kim was going on about Harry's sobriety because Harry, apparently, we found out last night, just got sober 3 years ago.
Right.
Which is interesting because Rinna is always talking about his brothers being drunks and this and that, but she has not mentioned that he had a problem. So
right.
I guess we learned that one last night. And so I thought Kim was going to be bringing that up. But
that's what I thought, too.
I read on the good old internet that she's bringing up that there's rumors that Harry's been cheating.
Oh.
On See, Lisa, and that's why she goes Asian.
By the way, and if Kim brings that up, if that's true, it just goes to show the influence of Brandy, because that's a Brandy move right there.
Totally.
You know, and probably Kim thinks it's, like, normal to approach something like that, and it's not.
Yeah, Radar Online is saying Kim Richards accuses Harry Hamlin of cheating.
No, Kim Richards. Kim Richards, you are high as a kite. Get off the TV with that. That's my big insult of the day. Get off the TV.
Well, I mean,
with
maybe
that.
He was. Maybe she doesn't care. I mean, there's so many different things that could happen in a couple that other people don't really understand. But, you know, my thing with Kim is, Kim, you've been married 3 times. None of them have worked. You're stealing cancer pills from one of them as he's laying dying in your house.
Yeah.
You have no friends.
Yeah.
You have no love life.
Yeah.
You're a drunk and a drug addict and your career is over.
Yeah.
Why don't you keep those stones in your purse so you can chop them up later with a credit card and snort them down, bitch?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Don't throw them. Don't throw them.
Don't throw stones when you live in a stone addiction. Okay. In a rock addiction.
In a stone. Don't throw stones when you live in a stone addiction.
Don't throw cock out when you live in a cracked house.
Don't throw stones when your bathroom is glass and the mirror needs dusting.
Don't throw caulk when you live in a cracked house. Okay. Don't throw caulk when you live in a crack house. All right,
darling, don't throw glass stones in a stone house.
Don't throw caulk in a leaky bathtub.
Darling, stop throwing around that glass frisbee. Stop throwing it in the stone house.
Hey, don't throw glass houses. I've got stones.
Hey, I'm trying out for the A's, and I'm going to be a pitcher, so I'm throwing these sheets of glass at the wall to see how hard they can break.
Don't throw glass in a stone restaurant. Oh God, this episode is going to be so
darling,
sad.
Darling,
this is where our brains are.
Darling, stop throwing glass pizza boxes at the stone wall when you live in a glass pizza parlor. Darling, Chef Penny made a glass pizza for you. Don't throw it.
Glass pizza.
They're little pieces of stone pepperoni. It's an ornamental piece. You put it on a table.
Kim Richards. Okay, so.
All right, let's go back to the scavenger hunt. So, by the way, on the hunt, we also had Camille Grammer, who was there quietly, and then some woman named, like, Lynn. I don't know who Lynn was or where she came from, but she was there.
Well, she can't be Ring Deidre anymore, or whatever that chick's name, Dee Dee. That lady's name was. God bless her heart. And when she tried yelling at people at that party after she got a dye job, she's like, I combed my hair today and I'm going to be a housewife. Yeah, you listen to me, Taylor. Whatever. I was like, oh no, back down, Dee Dee. And now Camille's like, oh, I'm not doing anything today, Dee Dee. Just do the ironing. I'll be right back. And then, meanwhile, she's been on the show.
Isn't it weird that Yolanda doesn't seem to have any friends? Like, no. Everyone else has, like, a friend.
She's
like,
awful. Who would want to fucking be friends with Yolanda? Could you imagine being friends with Yolanda? She'd be calling you, like, hey, how are you doing? Good. How's it going with you? Not good.
I have the Lyme disease.
I've been out of the bed today, and my eyes hurt, and I'm so fatigued. I'm so tired. Okay, well, great talking to you, Yolanda. Yeah, do you think David is cheating? No. Did you buy the Babyface album? No. You're a terrible friend.
Do you want to go see Anwar play soccer? No. Do you know who Anwar is? No. Me neither. I don't know The Lyme disease. I don't know if Anwar's my real son or just a Lyme disease hallucination, but I love him no matter what. I love my hallucination like my own son.
The tick that bit me got so strong from my blood that he grew into Anwar.
And I am so proud of him now. I'm so proud of that tick because he has my blood, you know? My tick is very entrepreneurial. He goes down to the side of the property and sells blankets based off of Hercules. The animated feature, not the new one.
My tick is selling nightlights from the Lego movie on my properties.
My tick is selling coasters which have pictures from Oliver and Company. It's a great, great animated feature from 1988 featuring the voice of Richard Mulligan, who's a great friend of mine. My tick is selling slippers that are themed after the Great Mouse Detective.
Oh.
If you wear them, you look like Basil, the detective. He was a great, great detective and a mouse.
I used to grow Basil, but it was overcoming the lemons. And there's only so much you could do with Basil.
I would always tell Anwar, go crop the, go harvest the basil for me. It's getting in the way of the lemons. But he got confused and went to soccer instead.
So what were you saying about stupid Yolanda? Oh, Yolanda doesn't have any friends.
Yeah, that's
why. Yolanda doesn't have any friends because what does she do really? Like, what are her interests? We've seen that she likes to horseback ride, do yoga.
And make
lie
toast.
Lie around in her bed and take selfies of herself in hospital gowns without makeup.
And make toast about how much she loves David.
Every episode. I would like to make a speech, my love. Thank you for everything you do for me and all of the poor children. Let me tell you, when I was walking to my limo today, I was thinking, how can David help the poor? I mean, whoa.
Meanwhile, the person's like, lady, I just want to know, do you want a Big Mac or fries? She's like, no. Before I answer your question, I just want to make another toast to David, who he never eats a Big Mac. Instead, he just gives food to the poor, and I'm just so happy for him.
I wish Yolanda could have done Patricia Arquette's Oscar speech. She would have been like, hi, everybody. This movie, Boyhood, took me 18 years to film because I have Lyme disease. And I would like to thank David for standing by me so much on this movie, on this film. And I would like to say that we birthed all the black people and all of the white people and all of the gay people. And we have fought for your rights. But you know what? I'm just trying to figure out how to use an iPad. And women don't need equal pay anyway because we've had such rich babies. Okay, so thank you, everybody.
I want you all to know that Boyhood is about my son Anwar, and I'm so happy for this movie because for 12 years I didn't even know he existed. So I just go look at the movie and I see everything I need to know. Because I've been watching the Gigi movie.
Oh, and my family called what Mohammed's butler took of my son so I would know who he was in 18 years.
Yeah. The entire thing was filmed on an iPhone by the butler.
Unfortunately, I only taught him how to use it sideways, so you have to crick your neck when you watch it.
Yes, it's a vertical movie, just like Anwar. He's very tall, just like the movie.
I thought it was right way up, but it is because I'm laying down in the hospital all the time.
I kept on telling him to film it sideways, but he did it vertically because he doesn't speak English. I was like, you have to learn English if you want to know how to direct a good movie in Hollywood.
Oh, Yolanda. Women don't need equal pay because we have gotten equal pay for our children who will support us when we were old.
Women need equal apartments, as in every woman gets an apartment in New York City, and then you become independent.
Every woman can move into Gigi's old apartments.
I am so proud of my love for creating apartments that my daughters can become supermodels in and then move out, and then less attractive women can move into.
Stupid. Oh, we're both crazy.
Right? I know, we are crazy.
No, it's only like one here.
We've only gotten like 2 minutes into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We keep on going back to this scavenger hunt. And we got derailed by Lynn. The friend.
Oh, yeah, Lynn the friend. Camille. Poor Camille. Do you remember when Camille was entertaining for like 5 minutes on the show when she got mad at Kyle?
She's always entertaining to me.
I guess it was fun watching her drive around her ex-husband's house on a golf cart with her friend Ploy. I remember her friend Hagrid, who'd be like, hey, and she's like, hey, Hagrid, what dress should I wear? And Hagrid's like, you look pretty in all of them, Camille.
I love that you call her Hagrid.
Like, thank you for being so big.
Like, you're welcome, Camille. Anything I can do to make you look smaller.
Oh, God. Those were the days. That's why I started thinking about Yolanda, because it's like Camille had two friends. Kyle has Faye Resnick, amongst others. Kim has,
Kyle's,
you know,
got
Kingsley.
A whole pack of awful people as her friends. Her best friends are Faye Resnick and the Kardashian mom. I mean, yeah. That's pretty bad.
She does. And then, like, Lisa Vanderpump has, like,
everyone
a million friends.
In that group made a lot of money when O.J. Simpson decapitated his wife.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, they all did. They all benefited.
What a bunch of fun women.
Lisa Rinna. Well, we haven't seen Lisa Rinna's friends, really, but, like, she's new, and we know that she has friends because she's famous. She has an agent.
Yeah, that's why she's on this show. She's friends with every producer and PA on reality television, and that's how she keeps getting on shows.
Yeah. Yeah, she was on Celebrity Apprentice, right? She was on it twice, I think.
I like Lisa Rinna. I really like her, and I normally don't like people like Lisa Rinna, who are, like, always fake positive.
Yeah, I love her.
And just, like, trying to, like, fake their positivity. But, you know, she's really dedicated to that kind of a lifestyle. And she's, like, earned that little red string around her finger, because I just downloaded a book about thinking positive, and I cannot even get through the first 3 pages of it, because it's just – I mean, this is what it says. Just think – when you're thinking negatively, think positively. And then once you keep doing that, then you'll be a positive person. I'm like, why does this need to be 1,000 pages? If I could fucking think positively, I wouldn't be such a negative cunt in the first place. You stupid book. Trying to find out what kind of drugs to take.
You should just be taking lemon juice. I think you should know that by now. Lemon juice.
I have plenty of lemon juice, Bin.
You know what you should? You know what you need? You need to have some lemon juice with some cilantro. And that's it. That saves everything.
Oh, my God. That's my mother's catchphrase. You know that, right? You know what you need? Oh, my God. If I say I'm cold, she'll be like, you know what you need? A jacket that's not skin tight on you. Because if it's so skin tight, like most of your clothes, then your skin just lets the heat out of the cotton because it thinks it's part of your skin. You need to give it room to build up the heat. I mean, just either buy clothes that are the same, a little bit bigger, or stop gaining weight. That's why you're cold. Okay, well, glad... Or you could turn down your air conditioning.
Right. You could do that, too.
This podcast is depressing me. I quit.
So let's go back to the so we're on the scavenger hunt. So they have to go first to go to a milkshake shop, which sounds delicious. I was like, sign me up for this.
Oh, I've been there. That's that ice cream store where they make ice cream in the with the antifreeze. My friend Brian, my neighbor Brian.
Oh, you know, there.
We
you
had
know
so much fun, you guys.
Those places are fun, but I have to say, I think ice cream that's made with not antifreeze but liquid nitrogen. Yeah, of course you had fun. You like were like hi, like it's made with like whiteout, and all you do is you sniff the ice cream. So,
hey, they have this goof off milkshake. It's delicious.
Richards is like, take me to the antifreeze ice cream.
I got rid of the gum that was been in my stomach since the fifth grade. The right out got scraped off my abdomen.
Kim Richards is like, hey, have you had the milkshakes at Valvoline? They taste wonderful.
Hey, guys, can I have light rain Febreze flavored milkshakes?
Hey, guys, I had a milkshake at Staples. It was wonderful. It was just basically ink toner and ice cream. It was great.
Staples. It was one of those printers. It wasn't inkjet, though, so you had to put the colored powder on your tongue and wait for it to melt.
I had a pixie stick from Office Max, and basically all I did was take one of those like little packets and make sure that things don't get wet, and you put it on your tongue. It was great. That was silicone or something? I don't know. It tasted wonderful. It tasted like strawberry and moonlight. So,
I made Kingsley into a shake. He wouldn't behave. When he was coming out, he bit me. My butt hurts. Give me a cancer pill.
I put my chicken salad into my Vitamix and made a shake out of that. And added a battery, too.
battery.
Wait, so, they were on this thing. Kim is like claims to be hobbling. She wasn't actually, her knee wasn't even hurting. She was just afraid that her knee would start to hurt. That was her
it's
thing.
Like, my teepee! My teepee hurts.
Got a hernia on the elbow. It's going to affect my knee. So, first, so.
Syphilis explosion in my knee.
Everyone stay down, put on a hard hat and safety glasses. Syphilis explosion gonna happen. 3, 2, 1, syphilis. Syphilis explosion. I just imagine Kim seeing those billboards and just getting like ducking and covering. She pulls over.
Now, why didn't my agent tell me about that movie?
Yeah.
I never auditioned for syphilis explosion.
I have a puppet, so I'm ready to audition for Syphilis Explosion.
I'm going to mention Syphilis Explosion every week and in every recap until it gets out of my head, because I don't think it's ever going to get out of my head. Google imaging syphilis was the most horrifying thing I've ever done.
Yeah, don't do that.
If there is a God, what kind of God would make a disease where fucking makes your nose fall off? I mean, come on. Noses off. Eyes out. I mean, what? Okay, so they were on the scavenger hunt, so, and Kim was whining a lot.
So Eileen's team was in the lead. That was with Kim, and I forget who was the other one on Eileen's team. Was it Camille? I think it may have been Camille.
It was Eileen's friend with a really sweaty butt crack.
Lynn?
Thing.
Was it Lynn?
She's like, here's my friend. She's a makeup person on Days of Our Lives whose butt drowns in its own butt sweat. And you know that Lynn has never seen her butt sweating like that and was horrified. Because you know she works out. She's got a cute little butt and everything. And then she has to find out on Bravo that her butt sweats because none of her friends were ever cool enough to be like, honey, your butt's sweating. Here's a paper towel.
I want Lynn to be on every episode. So then, meanwhile, Yolanda's team with Lisa, it's like Yolanda and Lisa and both Lisa's. They're like in last place, so they wind up at the milkshake shop, and they're like, okay, what milkshake should we get? And Lisa Vanderpump's like, chocolate, we'll get a chocolate milkshake. Or Lisa Rinna said that. And Yolanda's like, well, I don't like chocolate. And so then they're like, okay, we'll have a vanilla milkshake. And then it was just like Yolanda being like, well, you know, I said I don't like chocolate, so now you have to drink the chocolate milkshake and you have to live with the fact that I don't like it, and that's on you guys now. I'm like, Yolanda, shut up about the milkshake.
Okay, Yolanda, they don't have lemon flavored milkshakes.
Yeah. I would like to. The reason why they probably came in third place is because before they drank the milkshake, she's probably like, before we drink this, I just want to make a toast to David, who I love so much. And every time I drink a milkshake, I think of the milky love that he gives me.
gross.
Which, I'm sorry, I was actually not even intending that as a semen joke.
She's like, swallowing things I don't like is part of my life ever since I had to get a real job by marrying rich men. But I would like to say thank you to David, because even if it was you who gave me Lyme disease through your limey stuff, I still thank you for taking care of me and supporting my maid. Thank you, David. I sit.
And I want to just say, rest in peace to my dear Anwar. Anwar's like, I'm right here, Mom. I'm on the race. Who are you? I'll have another milkshake, please. Thank you.
She's like, hold on, baby face. I take back the money I gave you to write sad song about Anwar. Babyface is like, damn it. Locked out on another job.
Sad song about Anwar. Babyface.
Babyface has wrote a sad song about Anwar dying. Sing it, Babyface. And he's like, finger in your pussy. No, the other one, Babyface.
Oh, I Babyface, sing the funeral dirge about Anwar now, please. Thank you.
My mom left me alone in a room and forgot Babyface, that I was
sadder,
here.
Sadder, Babyface. This is for Anwar. Not just for some person. It's Anwar.
She wouldn't let me chew an almond. I shot my own deer, and then a tick flew off and bit me in the eye, and I got Lyme. And I died.
So one of the highlights of this race was that at one point, Dream Team number 3, which was the Yolanda's team, they were so far behind that they hopped on a sightseeing bus to get them to their next destination. And watching the tourists freak out was amazing. And I'm not even saying that from a condescending way, because if I were on that bus and like a celebrity jumped on, I would be like having the best time too.
Yeah, you'd love that. I usually, when I see famous people, I give them dirty looks and like hate them with my soul. I'm like, I don't care about you. I don't even care that you're at the Starbucks, okay?
Well, I mean, it's one thing to see them in person, but it's one if someone like hops onto your tour bus, like, yeah, hell yeah.
I think I told this, I must have told this on the podcast. One time I went to the Grove and I walked in and I heard all this screaming, and there was a procession of women following Adrian Maloof down the fucking cobblestone street screaming, "We love you, Adrian!" And she was waving like she was on a float to everybody. I was like, wow.
I'm not down with that. I am not down with that. But I think like if the celebrity comes into your sort of like personal space, if that makes sense. I know that like a tour bus is not personal space per se, but like if a celebrity like hopped into my car or a celebrity did this or that, it's like, oh my god, that's so cool.
Well, some celebrities that get excited. One time, I think I've probably told you this too, but one time I saw Patricia Arquette at the Grove too, speaking of the devil. And I was coming out of Anthropology because I love looking at their jeweled doorknobs. I don't know why I'm obsessed with that, but I always
Anwar,
go.
Well, I want to get you a new door, so that way I know which door is yours.
I got an emerald green doorknob, like from the Wizard of Oz. Okay,
Anwar, like I got you a doorknob that looks like a lemon, but it's encrusted with jewels. This way, I know which bedroom is yours, because I never know where you are.
But that was the time that Medium was on TV, which is my favorite show. Never miss an episode, except for the Molly Ringwald one, which I'll make up for one day.
Produced by Kelsey Grammer.
And I, produced by Camille and Kelsey. It's all a Real Housewives show today. And I was walking out of Anthropology and saw her, and she's just looking around. And as I passed her, I said, "Oh, I love you so much. It's so good to see you. I love you." And she just gave me the dirtiest look, because that's really rude, you know?
Yeah.
She's just trying to have a normal day. You know, she doesn't need some queen coming up to her being like, "I love you." But I do love her. And then I was like, fuck her for giving me a dirty look. But now I realize that she was like, that guy probably makes more money than me because he's a man. And so I forgive her.
Yeah, yeah. She's, you know what? I love Patricia Arquette. She can be as mean to me as she wants. Ever since I saw Beyond Rangoon as a child, for some reason, I just love her.
I still say Beyond Rangoon when I get BO or my feet stink. I say, God, those things are Beyond Rangoon.
Oh my God, I feel like the two of us are the only ones who've seen that movie. I loved it. When I saw it, I was like, oh my God, what an emotional journey she just went on.
Patricia Arquette. I mean, that woman, when she got killed in Boardwalk Empire, I lost it. I started screaming and yelling at the TV. I was like, why? Why?
Well, she's in one of my favorite movies of all time, which is not Beyond Rangoon, but Flirting with Disaster. One of my favorite comedies. It was like, to me, that is like up there as one of the best. You ever see that movie? Ronnie? Talk of Patricia Arquette sent Ronnie...
Yeah, my energy is a Skype killer. Every time I start going on some rant, Skype cuts off. Or you're just pressing the button over there, which I wouldn't blame
you.
No,
I was saying that one of my favorite movies of all time is Flirting with Disaster. You ever see that?
Yes. another fucking amazing movie, even though it has Ben What's-His-Face in it,
Ben Stiller.
Who I cannot stand. Yeah, don't like. Even though I should like him. He's not so great for himself.
I like Ben Stiller. I haven't liked too many of his movies recently, but I still think he's, like, very funny. And I think...
I'm impressed with what he's built for himself. Like, I think he's an amazing... like, I look up to him. I think what he's done is amazing, but I don't ever really get it.
If you haven't seen Flirting with Disaster, you should. It was directed by David O. Russell, who...
Oh, my God, that movie was good.
People love David O. Russell. But to me, what it all comes down to is Mary Tyler Moore, George Segal, Lily Tomlin, and Allen. The movie... I remember Siskel and Ebert reviewing it. That's how I learned about it, because back in those days, there was no internet, so you had to learn about movies by watching that show or reading the New York Times. I remember their review to this day, and they said, this is the sort of movie where you could tell the filmmaker was saying, what can we do next to have more fun? Like, how can we have more fun with this? What can we do next? And that's the way the movie feels. Oh, that is such a funny movie. So funny. And Patricia Arquette was so good on it, even though I still have, like, that moment when Josh Brolin is licking her armpit is still, like, very gross to me.
It is, but that's what's great about her. And also, I love that her acting seems like it's bad while you're watching it.
Exactly.
Like, it seems like she's a bad actor while you're watching it, but she's not.
She's not. It's
actually
like her
really
style.
Good, and like she's really feeling it, and she's super internal. She's one of those people that if you were like actually acting with her, you'd be like, this bitch is making zero effort. But then you watch it back later and you're like, oh my God, the subtlety.
Yeah.
The subtlety.
Exactly. You know, she's like.
Also, I love that she got fat. I'll say it. I love that she's like, fuck it. You know what? I've stayed hot all these years. I did not ever fix my teeth for you motherfuckers, and I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm in my 40s. Suck it.
Yeah, I like it. I like that her hair was a mess at the Oscars. She doesn't care. She's like, whatever.
That dress was stupid. That was like two old dresses like sewn together. You know, like, what's her sister?
Rosanna.
Rosanna. She's at home like, I'll sew you two dresses together, and then we don't have to spend that money you were going to use on my rent this month. And she's like, whatever. Go for it, Rosanna.
No, I just sort of like all the Arquettes, to be honest.
I do too.
David. Yeah, even David. Especially David. I like David Arquette a lot. And,
I got mad at him when he messed everything up with Courtney Cox.
Well, yeah. But,
I think that was due to, Prozac induced penis worries.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Flirting with Disaster is great, and I love Patricia. Like you said, I like her sort of quirky acting style. It reminds me of, you know who's also a very strange actress who I like in her strangeness is Rebecca Pidgeon. You know Rebecca Pidgeon?
Oh, I like her too. David Mamet's wife?
Yeah, she always has, all her line readings are like totally strange and like do not sound like the way normal people talk, but they're so like
arch. Their daughter is like that too. She's the girl from Girls. She's Shoshana.
Oh, Shoshana, what's her face?
Yeah, Shoshana is her and David Mamet's daughter, and she is super weird, too. I love her.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the scavenger hunt.
Yeah, meanwhile, back...
Until tomorrow.
Okay, so eventually it all ended at Villa Blanca. And then it was funny because they're, like, having a meal, and then all of a sudden, Camille and Lynn are like, thanks for having us, bye. I was like, oh, these poor ladies weren't even allowed to stay to the end of the meal. The producers had to kick them out.
I don't think they kicked him out. I think Camille is trying to do that whole, I don't need this show. I'm just here as a favor to you, and I'm leaving early with my friend because I don't need you.
She's like, my friend Patty is nominated for an Oscar, so I'm going to go to her scavenger hunt now. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. she hasn't heard about me and Fraser yet, so I'm still invited to her events. Bye!
She's heard about me and Fraser. I like Patty Arquette, like, not keeping up with the time. Patty Arquette has a super awkward scavenger hunt where she invites both Fraser and Camille. Oh, didn't realize.
Yeah, she's like, I don't even watch TV. I didn't even watch Medium except for the finale because I wanted to see... if they said anything nice to me in the end credits.
So anyway, at this meal, then Yolanda's like, now wait, we have one more game to do. Now everyone gets a letter and you have to spell this out. And they spelled out Amsterdam. And it was like, we're going to Amsterdam.
Yay. I mean, really, all we've talked about for years is Kim's fucking problems. And this year is all about everybody confronting Kim, and now we're going to go to Amsterdam with Kim. Oh my God. Why don't you just take Yolanda to a fucking horse farm and just lay her out there naked with no off and watch her get eaten alive?
Yeah. Well, listen. Listen, if Kim says she's sober, so whatever.
Whatever. Okay, Yolanda, we're going to take you to one of those ball, what do they call those ball, ball pens where you jump in the balls?
Yeah.
What are those called?
Yeah.
Ball pens. We're going to take you to a ball pen, but it's going to be full of ticks. Okay? Sound great? Great. That's our cast trip.
We're putting you in a tick tank.
A tick tank. Hey, Yolanda, we got you some Tic Tacs. Oh, I love the phone call with Yolanda's mom where she's like, "Hi, Mada. Okay, here's what we need for the Dutch trip, okay? We need hazelnut cake, cheese." like, please tell me that these subtitles are wrong. And she's like, "Please get some horse tranquilizers in case Kim acts up. Please get some staples to put Brandy's vagina closed in case she starts trying to have sex with all the staff." Giving like real instructions. Because yeah. I know she wasn't telling that bitch to buy some hazelnut cake. And when did her mother become Slade's mother?
Oh gosh, you're so right. I didn't even think about that.
It was Slade's mother. Her mom's like, "I don't know what language you're talking, but Slade's a loser. Get a job."
Oh, yeah. So then most of the women fly out on Yolanda's plane. First, they go to Calgary because
that's where Jesus was hung, right? Was that where he rose again or where he was crucified?
Calgary?
Yeah, isn't it something like that? Or he won something there. Maybe it was like a contest that Jesus won was in Calgary. Something in the Bible is Calgary, damn it.
I don't know because I'm Jewish, so I didn't read that far. But anyway,
you
so
had
David,
the whole entire first book.
But I didn't know that. I don't know. I didn't know Calgary was actually a religious reference too. So David was doing some massive fundraiser in Calgary of all places.
Oh, so, it's Calvary. Sorry.
Almost all the women flew out to Calgary first, except for Eileen and Lisa Vanderpump, who were gonna, I guess, meet everyone in Holland. I guess that was the plan. So
yeah.
So they all get on this private plane. And so,
Lisa's
of course,
like, "Sorry, darling, but Penny's trying to perfect the hot pocket. It's like a pizza, but instead of being a piece of pizza, it's rolled up into a little square. So, I mean, it's amazing, darling. Wait until you see it,
darling. I would come, but Penny's about to debut her newest masterpiece. It's called a California Roll. It's just crab meat with rice and seaweed all rolled up. It's gonna just take over the city by storm." So anyway. As they are arriving at the private airplane, of course, we learn that Brandy had told Kim that Lisa Rinna was inquiring about Kim's sobriety.
Okay, now here's a part that I was writing this recap so fucking fast yesterday because I was taking my diet pills. And so I wrote it in 1 hour and 45 minutes, which any recapper knows is insane in the membrane because this is while I was watching it. So I missed some stuff. And this was part of the thing that I missed because that whole conversation with Brandy, someone pointed it out and I went back and rewatched it. Brandy is such a C word for what she was telling Kim. She tells her the complete opposite way that it happened.
Well, I mean, this is why Brandy is trash. Because Brandy, you know, claims that she has Kim's back, but all she's doing is actually turning Kim against her.
She tells Kim, like, "Oh, Kim, everybody's talking about it. Lisa Rinna is going up to every person in the cast and talking about your drunkenness and blah, blah, blah." So, of course, Kim now hates Eileen and Rinna because stupid Skeletor has made her. Right. I hate calling people Skeletor. That's so Terry Hatcher, Desperate Housewives. But there it is.
And
I'm scrolling now to Brandy's blog because the huge rumor on this show, I mean, it's not even a rumor. If you search Brandy Glanville on Twitter for the past 3 weeks, all you get is Brandy's fired, Brandy's fired, Brandy's fired. And I think it really was sealed when she went on Watch What Happens and did that horrible quote-unquote joke that wasn't a joke and freaked out that Jeff Lewis was mean to her and then came out and started telling Andy off on Twitter because Eileen and him were making fun of her on Watch What Happens. So if you missed any of that, that's what's been going on outside the show. And so now Brandy is doing her best to be positive, and it's hilarious. You have to listen to this. And I don't do a Brandy impersonation, and I'll make it quick, but listen to her positive attitude. "Hello, Bravo peeps. Tonight I'm finally home in LA with my family. I can't tell you how nice it is to just slow down for a while. My mind is on recipes and new kids' projects this week. When I catch up, I will for sure share a recipe."
Okay.
Who comes to Brandy Glanville for a recipe?
I mean, she's going to make Chef Penny look like Thomas Keller. She'd be like, she's going to be like, okay, here's what you do. You take some butter, put it on a saltine, and then put some grape jelly on it, and there you go. It's an hors d'oeuvre.
Put enough butter on it, and it tastes just as good coming back up.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's like four paragraphs of her being like, Yolanda's amazing, and David's charity is so great, and I didn't even mind being with Kyle. I'm just so happy to be here. And then she starts getting nasty. Well, you know that about this scavenger hunt. I had fun. Well, and tendon energy. God, Ronnie. Tendon injuries can last for months, like sticking up for Kim and her drunk ass. Mm-hmm. The others? Well, you saw what I saw. Sadly, I saw a lot of negativity, complaining, petty unnecessary jabs, and criticizing their own teammates for physical issues they can't control. Quotes from one of our ladies. I hate clues. I hate the game. I hate the whole thing. She followed this by shooting the bird at Yo. Nice. Lisa, the only one with a sense of humor on the show. On the other hand, I had fun. I love the sun, games, clues, and getting... Yeah, you're the positive one here.
Yeah.
Shout out to Camille for beating cancer with such grace. The prize for participating in the fun or awful day, depending on which housewife we're talking about, was a paid luxury trip to Amsterdam. Then David Foster's great, suck David Foster's dick, blah, 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 great charity, more positivity. And then on the dramatic side, someone poked the wrong bear. We saw Kim slowly learning that someone has had one-on-one talks about her private life with everyone on
slowly learning.
Real Housewives.
It was nothing.
Everyone, that is, but Kim herself. To me, announcing you're a nice person isn't the same as being a nice person. Yep, one new member of our little group is hell-bent on intruding, casting strong labels, making insanely irresponsible assumptions, and stating them as facts all over the place. On the show, the internet, to the media, and on Watch What Happens Live. Calmly butting
Excuse
into a stranger's
me.
Life with such strong agenda and absolutely zero knowledge of any details of that life after only a few scattered social functions is a whole new level of crossing boundaries.
No. I'm stopping you right here, okay? First of all, Brandy talked about everything that happened with Kim to Jennifer Jimenez just last week, and Jennifer Jimenez was like, well, does she have a sponsor? Is she going to meetings? Does like this and that, okay? Is she going to therapy? And Brandy was
all
like,
of
no.
Which
and
her reaction was, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what she's doing, of course. And then her reaction to Lisa Rinna is, well, isn't it obvious she's still using? Isn't it obvious to everybody? I mean, come on, bitch.
And no, Lisa Rinna, it's not like a few scattered things. Lisa Rinna was like in a car with her, with Kim, when Kim was like high off her ass, off of a pill. And I think if you have a history with addiction and you are you have a moment where you are like high, Lisa Rinna is like 100% right to be questioning it. Like, is this woman getting help? Like, she fell off the wagon. Like, is like this is a problem? Like, I, you know, Lisa Rinna, I have no qualms with what she's doing. And Kim, you know, it, again, the whole thing is like you have to take accountability when you are. When you are an addict, if you are an addict, okay, the whole thing is right. You apologize, you take accountability for your actions for when you were not sober, right? So you don't hold people's reactions against them because you were not presenting like your normal self or whatever. So if Lisa Rinna is going around saying, oh, is Kim sober or whatever, Kim was not sober at that moment. And so Kim, it's not like for Kim to be like, shut the fuck up, why are you saying that about me? It's Kim to be like, I'm real, like, Kim's supposed to apologize. That's the way it works. That's the way the program works.
Look, when you get me agreeing with Kyle, because Kyle said, you know, Kyle, I'm liking the past few episodes because she's Kyle again, which
I
totally
I'm all on Kyle. I'm like,
and I've
happy.
Hated Kyle for like years now because I just don't like when she's trying to bring down nice people to get airtime. I don't like it.
No, but I do. Kyle like is back in my good graces.
Yeah, she's getting there. But I like what Kyle said when she said, you know, what I told Kim was she should have gone to Lisa and said, listen, I've heard that you've got all these questions about it, and I want you to feel free to come and talk to me about it, because if we're going to be new friends, we should speak openly, and I don't like hearing about it from other people because it makes me feel insecure or whatever. But, you know, someone pointed out in our comment section on the Facebook page, which is an excellent point. I think Cammy pointed this out, that Lisa did go up to Kim. She went up to her at that party in the kitchen and said, are you seeing somebody? Do you have somebody taking care of you? Are you in the program? Do you have a small? She already did all that shit, and Kim got pissed. So actually, she did do it to your face, so whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And so Brandy is actually just, again, Brandy's stirring the pot. And, you know, on top of that, Brandy's doing it because Brandy, don't forget that this all goes back to that awkward wine throwing incident. Okay, Brandy throws the wine at Eileen, and Lisa's like, what the fuck, basically. And Eileen is sort of like, what the fuck. And then Eileen even, on top of that, Eileen even chastises Brandy for making fun of her house. So this is the way Brandy deals with it. She is like, okay. And then she starts a hate campaign against these women. She's trying to turn
people
against them.
Well, now Brandy's, you know, she's not really doing it on the show yet, because one thing that Brandy has said about Lisa Rinna that's completely true is that Lisa Rinna, you would never know that Lisa Rinna has a problem with you because she's so nice to your face, and you don't hear what she's thinking until she's, you know, she hasn't really given Brandy any clue that she thinks anything bad about her until you watch the show. And so Brandy's starting this whole thing because she's saying Lisa Rinna's trying to get her kids taken away from her because she's calling her a drunk on national TV and saying that is irresponsible. Well, how about being drunk on national TV every week is irresponsible? Yeah. Why is it irresponsible to point it out? I agree that it's not really Lisa Rinna's or Eileen's place to be like interfering with Kim's sobriety, but I don't think that it's bad for them to say something about it. It's glaring. I have a friend who's like teetering on the edge right now. Mm-hmm. And this girl, and thank God she doesn't listen to this shit so I can talk about her. And she's to the point where every time we go out, she's so shit faced that it's embarrassing. She causes a scene. Mm-hmm. And we've told her, we're like, that's enough. Like, and she's like, I'm not a drunk. And we're like, well, you know, it's not even about you being a drunk. It's just keep it together while you're with me. Because if you yell at me in public ever again, that's it. I'm done. Like, you cannot be yelling at me in a restaurant. And it has not happened since. And she still can maintain her drunk. Look, I'm all for an alcoholic as long as you can just not yell at me in a restaurant.
High functioning.
Okay, that's my only rule.
Well, look, you know what? You know, if you act a fool, you're going to get talked about.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what happens. That's what happens, Kim Richards. So now
that
Kim
is damn right.
So Kim is mad at Lisa Rinna. And they're on this private plane. And then basically Kim Richards goes off on Lisa because Kim is like, I'm not going to say hi to her. I'm not going to say hi. So then Lisa's like, is everything all right, Kim? Like, are you mad at me? And that's when Kim is like, shut the fuck up. Don't talk about me. Mind your own business.
Well, because Kim's sitting there. Okay. Kim's sitting there on the plane.
Baby face.
First of all, Yolanda has passed out magazines to everybody. And oh, what a surprise. They all have her daughters in them. Fuck off.
Okay. She's like, I saw that in the Hollywood Reporter. Oh.
And then Kyle's like, holy shit, her first deal was $36 million, which I almost shit on the floor because obviously she's talking about Gigi.
That's crazy.
Which that kid already has 30. God, I wish my mother had forced me to diet and be cuter.
How does Gigi already have a $36 million deal? She's a model. I mean,
I don't know, but that's what Kyle. Well, Kyle read somebody had a $36 million. Maybe it was a quote about somebody else. But anyway, Kim is sitting there pissed off with her sunlight in her face, which Bravo is really not being very nice to these women lately because that was not a good look. That face looked like crumpled up paper bag. In the sun, sipping on, it looked like meth face, sipping on water, giving Lisa Rinna the dirty eye. And Lisa Rinna had her reading glasses on, and so she could see it. And she was like, what's your ish? And then Kim was like, you don't talk about me or my family. And like started going all like Sophia from The Color Purple on her. And then Lisa was like, I'm sorry, I was just trying to help. What's with the anger? And Kim's like, yeah, whatever. Stop talking about it. And like kept telling her off, and Rinna was like, okay, then I really sincerely apologize, I was trying to help, that's it.
Nah, right. You're still talking about it, shut it down.
And I like,
why
how
are you still saying sorry, shut it down.
And I like how one of the women was like, I can't believe Kim is acting like this in front of Babyface.
Kyle, she's like, Babyface is here, I cannot, I'm so embarrassed. What if Babyface needs to buy a house in the next couple of years? He's not gonna buy it from someone whose sister's with that crazy bitch.
Yeah. Kyle is like, I'm so sorry, my sister only acts like this at two occasions, that's day and night.
Kyle, that's then Kyle got on my nerves again because now it's all about Kyle feeling uncomfortable and hiding
because she's
afraid of planes again.
Well, no, I think, I mean, she said the plane thing as an excuse to her sister, but I mean, I get it. I mean, I've been in that situation too before, but listen, here's the thing. Kyle wants to be in with Babyface, whether it's like superficial or not, whatever. But I think we've all been like in that situation where you're with someone who's like cooler than you and you want like them to like think you're cool too. And then someone that you're associated with is acting like a damn fool and you're like, So that's what Kyle is going through. And I get it. I mean, even if it is coming from a totally superficial, like materialistic, stupid place, I empathize. I've been there.
so we can all. My lesbian friend is getting married, and her wedding planning is to send an email saying we're going to Vegas on Sunday. Okay, what hotel are we staying in? How many nights are we going to be there? We going to gamble? We going to party? We going to have dinner somewhere? I mean, what the hell, lady? Mm. Okay, that was my little break. So yeah. I'm putting, what's the hotel for Vegas so we can all book together? I'm sorry, that had nothing to do with this. I'll stop looking at
the It's okay.
Computer.
We both had two confessional moments.
But I can't be around you when you stick up for Kyle, okay? Because Kyle is still an asshole. Like, I still like her, but I don't like that Kim's issue is now about Kyle. It makes me crazy.
Well, you know, but the
And you know who else is guilty
of
that?
You know, though, I mean, also, though, I mean, like, not everyone can be a selfless angel, Ronnie. I mean, you know, when things
well,
happen around you...
Well, what I was about to say was, the other person who's like that is me.
Yeah.
Because when I've had to deal with that in my life, I've been very victim-y about it, too, and been like, well, poor me, I have blah, blah in my family. And you know what? It's not about me, and it needs to not fucking be. And maybe Kyle has made me grow by making me see that, because I see that in her, and I can see how it would have affected her life, obviously. But, you know, it's not about her. It's about her sister getting her shit together, you know? So thank you, Kyle. Listen, you really taught me something.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was trying to say before, which is that, like, you know, imagine you were going somewhere with, and there was someone on the plane that you don't really know very well, but they're, like, successful, and you, like, want them to, like, you sort of want to be, like you, it's like, you want them to have a good impression of you, okay? And let's say you have your sisters on the plane, and your sister's acting like a fool, and you're sort of, like, you're kind of like, why can't she just, like, act properly? Like, why do you have to do this? And now, like, and you know, and especially if this is something you have to deal with all the time, and you're kind of like, you know, like, I can see why Kyle would make it about herself. Because at that moment, how could you not? How could you not? How could you have a moment where you just could be thinking to yourself, like, step outside of yourself? Like, you know, when it happens over and over and over again, eventually you do get to a point where, like, you know what? I just want to have a, you know, I'm already on edge because I'm on a plane. And here I'm, like, just trying to, I'm trying to keep it together enough for Babyface, you know? So that way Babyface wants to invite me over. Like, it's bad enough that I'm, like, terrified right now. And it's bad enough that Babyface sees me being terrified. And now you gotta act like a fool, Kim? Like, why are you doing this to me? I get it.
Well, I was trying to be a housewife, and that's what I was thinking at that moment. Because I feel like every time something comes up, Kyle is suddenly about Kyle. Like, Eileen tried to talk to her about having an intervention with Kyle, and Kyle's like, but how do you think this affects me, Eileen?
See, that's bad when someone says badly about me.
But
yeah.
That's how I felt at that moment. But then, man, as this episode went on, I was just rooting for Kyle, because Kim's, it's just such a horror show. And you just see... You see more and more every episode exactly what everybody in Kim's life has had to deal with her whole life. She's a total hypocritical asshole who has no memory of her own life.
Yeah.
So she can't even know that she's a hypocrite, because she doesn't remember anything. Like when she said to Kyle, so Kyle loses her bag in the airport.
And then I
just
want
to look for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So she loses the bag and has to look for it. And Kim's like giving dirty looks and going, seriously? And she's all pissed off because they're having to wait around for Kyle. They've had to wait for Kim every season for every trip.
Yeah. How about Hawaii?
For hours.
How about Hawaii when Kim full on just missed a whole flight? Remember that she was like a day behind the entire trip for something that was like paid for, and like someone bought her a ticket. They did all these things. And she was like, not. She was barely even apologetic for it. Remember, Mauricio went off on her.
Stayed wasted in her room with her fucking mouth breathing Jabba the Hutt faced boyfriend. Stayed drunk as hell in her room. Then they finally leave her after she's like 3 hours late to lunch. They finally leave her. So in this episode, she's like, "Whenever I'm late, you just leave me."
Yeah.
Bringing that up, it's like, are you seriously bringing that up as your defense? The trip that you came out to America as being a total addict with a loser in your room. Like, are you how?
Yeah, I feel like
my brain about to pop, because does she not remember that? Like, she's bringing up that specific experience when it made her look worse. I mean, it just makes
I couldn't
sad.
Believe. I know. It I couldn't. I could not. Even believe, and the funny thing that what set her off was that they had this really random moment on the escalator. They're all going up the escalator, and like Kim's baggage was like so heavy that it kind of got stuck at the top of the escalator, and all the women kind of like it was like a pile up on the escalator, and some random lady in stripes had to come and help them, whatever. And they're all screaming and they're all laughing, And someone accused, I think, was it Kyle? Someone said Kyle did it.
Yeah,
and
Kyle said something. Kyle's like,
no, it was Kim at the top, whatever. It was like a nothing. It wasn't even like a j'accuse moment. And Kim was like, wow, real, thanks a lot. And then Kim just goes off. I'm like, you know, Kim, you really have some nerve right now to,
but
like,
in
I understand
Kim's
being,
defense,
okay.
You know that she's doing this because A, she's not sober. I don't care what she says. But she's licking her lips weird and talking funny and, like, giving that dirty look to Rinna. We've seen Kim when she's drunk, especially how she is around Lisa Rinna. And we know how she acts. And she was acting like that again. So, to me, not sober, first of all. Second of all, she's got brandy in her ear.
Yeah, that's
what getting
I think that's
riled
more what
up,
it is.
And she's always ready to fight. It's like that party with all the bottoms when Kyle was, yes, she was mad at Brandy, but she's like standing on the sidelines getting herself riled up like a little chihuahua who smells a mailman coming down the block, you know? And she's like, she's just getting ready. And so by the time they come in, she's yelling and screaming and it looks completely out of place and stupid. And that's how Kim looks. It's like she's just ready to yell at anybody that Brandy's got her pissed off about at any moment.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Kim was sober or not at the airport, but I do think that no she way. Was being wildly irrational. And listen, I get it. I get, like, you've just had, like, a huge flight. You're probably a little cranky. And it's, like, it really is annoying that you now have to sit there for 90 minutes while Kyle gets her bag. And you're, like, you're probably fuming. I get all that. But I just feel like, of all people, it's not Kim who can make those attacks. Like, when there's been too much of a history, like, let other people be annoyed. But the fact that no one else really seemed to be that annoyed meant that Kim really shouldn't have been annoyed because they were like hanging out with each other. What else were they going to do? They're going back to the hotel to sleep.
Also, Kim's missing a really good opportunity. She could be walking around that airport, getting her own scene, being hilarious and trying on hats or doing whatever, or trying to speak the language with Brandy. Like, you know, you're on a TV show. You're trying to prove to people that you've still got some kind of entertaining aspect to your personality. Use that time. Don't just sit there and give fucking dirty looks to a clock. I mean, come on, Kim.
Yeah.
Make an effort.
I just love the way that the whole episode ended, which was basically Yolanda on the bus saying, "Oh, I'm so tired, I'm nauseous." And it just ended.
Yeah, because Kim's trying to start shit. And, you know, my favorite part of that whole thing was Kyle is in the back seat wearing, like, blind people glasses. I don't even know where she got those. Probably borrowed them from Babyface, who got them from Stevie.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there mortified in the back of that bus. And Lisa said, you know what? She's just mean.
Yeah.
And that's it. That sums it up. She's a mean person. She can
she
be
is.
Sober. She can be drunk. She can be on heroin. She could not be. I mean, who knows? The fact is she's a fucking self-absorbed, mean little haggy bitch. And she needs to reel it in.
You know what? That mother of theirs screwed them up. For real. Like, that mother, I don't know what she did. But she probably did a big, like, divide and conquer with those sisters. She probably pitted them against each other from day one. And I don't know how they're ever going to get by. I mean, they are just really screwed up as a result of that, you know? By the way, we should also talk very briefly about the fundraiser in Calgary. Because, once again, Yolanda gave a toast to David. And if I remember correctly, I was going to write this down. Why didn't I write it down? But at one point, I think Yolanda's like, I just want to give a toast to my husband. And then, like, David Foster, you seem to be like, oh, my God, that's so nice. As if, like, she doesn't give him a toast every single outing. I mean, I was like, oh, David Foster, just shut up.
David Foster, you know, most people don't like when you're falling all over yourself. There's something weird in that relationship. Like, when she showed up to the thing, she's like, oh, David, I'm so sorry we're late. Oh, I'm so sorry, David, we're late. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, stop apologizing like a fat girl, you know, like I was talking about in the beginning. Like, there's some weird insecurity where she always feels the need to apologize and impress David. And it's like, don't leave me, David. Yeah. Don't leave me, David. Where are you going? Yeah. It's like, I'm going to the bathroom. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll be here when you get back with chicken. I have chicken here.
Anwar's going to come out and fly and say hello. We just don't know where he is. We have to find him. I think he might be in Zaire. Is that still a country?
A girl named Christina Haberk. I'm sorry. I cut you off. I thought you were done.
I was done.
Okay. Sorry. That was rude. Christina Haberkern.
I made my one Zaire joke of the week, so I'm set.
She posted on our Facebook, every time I see Foster, I just see Baby Grinch. And it's hilarious. Yeah. It's a picture of David Foster next to a little Grinch face.
It's true.
And then she actually did another one where she colored him like the Grinch and gave him that hair. And it looks just like him.
Yes.
Well done, girl.
Well done. Very well done.
Well done, Christina. Yeah, so she gave that speech, and then it was like, all the stars. Can we talk about Steven Tyler's wig?
Oh, I know. But you know what, though? I really like Steven Tyler's speech. I thought it was nice. Have I stunned you into silence, or did you just leave? Oh, I see. You're ranting. So when Ronnie rants, Skype goes away.
Hello, man.
Hello. Welcome back. I was like, oh, well, Ronnie's going on a Steven Tyler rant, so therefore Skype is going to kick him out. It's okay. This podcast will be like five different pieces together.
I know. I'm sorry. You're going to be there for 5 hours trying to put this together. It's happened to me, and it sucks.
It's actually not so bad trying to put it together. It's just more like GarageBand's just slow. What can I say?
GarageBand, I went on iTunes and even wrote a nasty review last week because they changed it. I was like, thanks a lot, jerks. This used to be easy, and now it's not. I know.
New GarageBand is awful. The only thing that's good about New GarageBand is that the loops are awesome. So if you want to make music, it's good. But
I have a MacBook Air, so I can't even download all the new loops.
Why can't you download the new loops?
Because the MacBook Air comes with like as much memory as a phone. I have all my apps on it, and then I use external drives for all my animating and music production and stuff like that. Because there's not enough storage. That's how they're so tiny. So I want to be big man, tiny computer, Ben. All right. I like being big man, tiny car. Big man, tiny computer. I like the juxtaposition.
Well, why don't we? I know you had a rant about Steven Tyler, but why don't we instead move
on? It wasn't a rant. It was just like, Steven Tyler, you're richer than God. Everyone loves you. You're 90 years old and people still call you sexy. Why are you wearing wigs from the witches? Stop it. That's not necessary. A nice short wig. Get you a faux hawk wig even.
No,
I wouldn't even make fun of you if you did that. But that hair was like a 90-year-old wig that was down to his feet. I don't know.
I'm down with it. I'm down with his wig. Why don't we move on to Vanderpump Rules?
Imagine fucking like that when you're like 80? I mean, that guy still gets so much ass. I haven't even gotten that much ass when I was like young and thin.
Yeah. It's amazing. Rockstars.
That guy's like an ass vacuum. He's just vacuuming up ass all up and down the coast, darling.
Darling.
Darling. Chef Penny. Chef Penny, the ass vacuum, darling.
Does anyone know what Chef Penny is? Oh, is she getting boned by Steven Tyler again? Chef Penny, this tuna tartare isn't going to make itself. Get over here.
I warned you about the ass vacuum, Chef Penny. Darling, don't leave your post.
Pandora, get there quickly. Someone make the tuna tartare.
I'm still telling people, just in casual conversation, you know, I told her, don't leave your post, darling. I mean, just don't leave your post. And they just look at me like, what is wrong with you? I can't believe I know so many people who don't watch Bravo. Okay, Vanderpump Rules. Ignoring the segue.
There is no segue. It's just like...
You did. You had a good one.
No, there's no segue. It's like when Chef Penny serves an enchilada followed by tuna tartare. No segue needed. It just makes sense.
No segues, or we'll get 10 points taken off a scavenger hunt.
It's like when Chef Penny serves a Thai barbecue chicken pizza, and then another enchilada. No segue needed. Just enchiladas
all right,
every other
Chef
course.
Chef Penny, all right, look. I want a pizza, but instead of just sauce and cheese, I want it to be that buffalo mozzarella, darling, and then slices of tomato. Understand? All right, it's just going to change the face of pizza, darling.
And then here's what we're going to do. Add just a little bit of basil. All right, Chef Penny, just blow everyone away.
Yolanda stopped growing it. All right, we're going to have to order it somewhere else.
Here's what we do, Chef Penny.
Vanderpoop Drools begins with,
oh my God, we got back from the honeymoon, and okay, here's what we did. We snowboarded, we skied, we played basketball, we went power walking, we went bowling.
I was like, Shane gained 30 pounds on this trip. You did none of those things. You fucked in a bed and got high. Shut up.
Yeah, she's like, it was the best Club Med experience of my life. We went to Club Med Azusa. All they have is a trapeze.
They had skiing, and so we ate at the ski restaurant, and then we ate at the bowling alley, and then we walked to the parking lot, which we called power walking, because there was a Chevy's.
I took some trapeze courses, and the Club Med in Azusa, you can swing from the Outback to the Elephant Bar, back and forth on the trapeze.
That was the best. That was an amazing honeymoon.
How that started.
Yeah.
And then, since we found out the season finale is next week, boo!
No,
Don't leave us, darling.
Don't leave us
this
way.
Don't leave your post.
Well, there was, I think Lisa went and talked to James, because James was, like, folding napkins, sadly, and he's like, well, I got mad at Kristen, and I feel very badly about it. And Lisa's like, oh, just do make sure that the purple table is in proper order. That's okay.
It's like, just don't bring Kristen here, all right? You need to do better, all right? Just walk away. Walk away from Kristen. And I like how he's like, well, you know, I got in a fight with Kristen.
Got a fight with Kristen. And I, but the truth is that I love her and I don't know what to do. And it was my fault. I was acting like a big bugger. Kristen.
But the best is that Kristen is going all out now. She is not giving up. If she actually made this much effort in her career, she'd probably have one.
Yeah.
Because she is not letting it go. She is going to make Jax admit that Tom boned that ugly girl.
Yeah. So, but she's like, seriously? All my tactics aren't working, seriously? So she goes after, she's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask Stassi for help. And Stassi's like telling Christina, she's like, oh my God, like, Christina keeps on texting me. Like, who does that? Like, stop it already. Like, stop it.
He's like, Kristen, stop texting me, Kristen.
Kristen.
Kristen. Dead.
And then Christina's like, ew, who does that, Stassi? She's so ugly and stupid. So, but then Stassi,
I thought we were on the Tom thing. Sorry.
No, I'm talking about.
Stassi. Okay, wait. We have to stop and get really shallow for a second. Stassi, pregnant, getting fat. What's happening?
I don't think she's pregnant, but
because I don't care if she's gaining weight. She looks good with it, actually. She's going to need a new chin job, but she looks otherwise looks good. Her boobs look good. She looks good, thicker. I'm from Texas. I like my blondes bigger and well-rounded. I mean, I think that she looks pretty good, actually. It's just weird because she's coming back on a TV show that she said she quit, refusing to work out the restaurant that the show's about, and then refusing to film any kind of scene with anybody from the show and then getting fat on TV.
Yeah,
what is she doing over there?
Well, clearly her trip with Peter to Fat Sal's on Highland Avenue was not her first trip there.
Oh my God! Can I get that? Was that Fat Sal's?
They went to Fat Sal's, owned by
Turtle. Went there once. Let me tell you what I got. I got like a 12-inch this thing was fucking huge. It was made with chicken fingers, macaroni and cheese, pickles, and some kind of like hamburger bun and like something like mayonnaise, like some kind of flavored mayonnaise on white. I almost barfed after the first bite. And then I had a milkshake that was like a half a jar of peanut butter with Reese's Pieces cups and fudge chips. I mean, what the hell with that place? That place is trying to kill you.
Yeah, I actually am a huge fan of that place, but I've never gotten any of the crazy sandwiches like the one that you got. Like, I pretty much stick to, there's some, like, ham with coleslaw and Thousand Island dressing, like a normal sandwich that I get, and it's so good. But it's not, like, if you are trying to lose weight, Fat Sal's is really not the destination for you. So, but Stassi went there with Peter, and she was like, I don't remember what they were there to talk about. She was just like,
well, Stassi's already acting like she's married to a rich person, and she's not. And I hope she realizes that he has not put a ring on it. You're already moving in with him and getting fat. Bitch, you're going to be crying like a little bitch next year.
I know. She's walking around like she's Marilyn Quayle, you know, but she certainly is not. But she was there with Peter, I think, to talk more about, like, what to do next. What should she do? With, like, I don't, you know, I honestly don't remember. I got this really bad indigestion when I was watching the show, and I had to, like, lie on my stomach. And so I was, like, watching it, like, sideways, and I didn't retain a lot.
You see, even seeing that restaurant gives you indigestion.
I know,
it's full of such shit.
It came through the TV. It was, like, the combination of Stassi and Fat Sal's is enough to make my digestive system do, you know, cartwheels. But ultimately what happened was, though, that Stassi and Kristen went... They got breakfast together. She's like, I'll do a breakfast with her. Like, I can do a breakfast with Kristen. Nah. But, so they got breakfast somewhere. I don't remember. Do you remember where they got breakfast?
No, I don't look at the restaurant.
I always look. I forget
where
they
Because I can't look. I'm too easily swayed. Like, I've been asking my friends to take me to Sunset Grill for weeks now because Let's that's go. Where we keep seeing them eat. And they're all like, that place sucks. We're not going there.
I know.
Drop it. Like, let it go. And I'm like, no, but I want to eat at Sunset Grill. They're like, Ronnie, it's disgusting. We're not going there.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. Who does that?
So, anyway, Kristen was like, seriously? Like, it's really important for me that people know that I'm not a liar. So, I need, like, somehow Jax to say that he saw Tom having sex with a girl in Miami. So... Stassi, of course, is like, well, she's never going to say it in front of Tom. You have to have Jack say it in front of Sheena, because Sheena will tell everyone. And then Stassi's like, but I strongly recommend that you just drop it and move on. And Kristen's like, Seriously?
Well, how come nobody tells anybody else to move on? Because, like, you know, like, for 2 years, people are like, move on. But no one tells Tom to move on, you know? And, like, he's moving his tiny dick in and out of people. And no one's like, stop moving your dick. It's all about me,
You know, like, Chef Penny once was having sex with a tuna tartare, but I'm the one who gets blamed for it. Like, that's fucked up. Seriously.
Yeah. Why am I the one who's called, like, a sloppy, choppy... you know, cup of, like, slimy pink stuff, when Chef Penny's making, like, tuna tartare.
By the way, I am on the Sunset Grill Yelp page, and I'm reading the reviews, and they're kind of hilarious.
What are they? Read some.
Okay, this is from Sam S. I'm going to read it in Kristen voice. I specifically stated and politely asked for no mustard on my two chicken burgers. I even said, leave that out, please, as I have an allergy. Guess what? They arrived both with mustard and pickles. Pickles! Also, the curly fries were stone cold. Seriously? Seriously? Okay, and here's another one, which I'll read in a Sheena voice. Today's lesson, just because Don Henley wrote a song about it does not make it a good choice. Just kind of funny and stupid at the same time. First off, after ordering my cheeseburger, I went into the bathroom to wash my hands. Simply walking into the bathroom made me feel like I now needed a shower. Second, I'm one of only three people in the restaurant. Why does it take nearly 15 minutes for a simple cheeseburger? And the music? Oh my god, don't even get me started. Hoes in different area codes? Ugh, nope. No Don Henley here. Then old drunk crazy lady attempts to sit with me? That's it. I'm out. Seriously? With about a million places to get burgers in LA, I will never choose this one again.
Seriously? Oh my god.
I'm gonna barf.
Yeah.
Just kidding. You know why? Because I got on Mr. Jax Taylor's Instagram.
Oh, good.
Because whenever we read stuff online, that's my favorite stop. Oh, the Bravo blogs and the Jax Taylor Instagram. It's actually pretty good today. He's getting much better at it.
What is
There's a little crazy girl eating an ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
and he wrote an apology yesterday that says sorry to everyone. And it says, sorry about the pit bull comment. That was so uncalled for, and I didn't mean to harm to the breed. Was caught up in the moment and said something I shouldn't have. Sorry again if I offended anyone. Was not my intention. Have a good day. And then he took a screenshot of that apology and then put it everywhere, I guess.
What was his pit bull comment?
Glad you addressed that. It's an insult to the breed to compare them to Kristen. It's ridiculous that people got upset over that comment. You weren't saying anything bad about pit bulls, but saying something bad about Kristen and how she acts. People need to calm down. That's some funny shit.
Wow.
Seriously?
But yes, Kristens are overbred, and they do fill shelters, and no one wants to take them in because eventually, you know, they could be nice for a million years, but eventually they're going to try and bite your face off.
Yeah.
Right? There,
exactly.
Kristen.
Kristen. So anyway, speaking of dogs, there was this random thing where Lisa had like a dog event at Pump and Lance Bass was there. So that happened.
Lance Bass, who, wow. Lance Bass is on every Housewives episode of all time lately.
Like, yeah.
Lance, we get it. You have some podcast, okay?
Yeah. He has a show.
Like, buy some Google AdWords or something.
He has a show on Sirius XM.
Well, who doesn't?
I know. Exactly.
Come on, Dunning. We should be syndicating to Sirius, Dunning. Yeah, Dunning. Extra $5 a week. That can't hurt.
Chef Penny is doing the craft service for a Sirius XM radio show. She's serving up little zucchini bites. Little zucchini pies. She makes them in a muffin tin and puts them in the oven.
Oh, my God. Delightful. Let's do something with... we'll do it like noodles. But instead of noodles, we'll make them look like we'll make zucchinis look like noodles, and then we'll call them zoodles, darling. All right,
make it happen, Penny.
Darling, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take some meat and put it into a big ball, and then put it on some spaghetti. We're gonna call it meatball and spaghetti. It's just gonna blow everyone away.
Okay, so what else happened on the show? So they got together at the Sunset Grill, darling. Wait, is that where they were?
No. We just started talking about it.
I think we were on Stassi and Christina, right?
Sassy and Christina had a scene. I remember Christina did something. I was like, you are so awful. But I don't remember
what
she did.
She's such an ass kisser because Sassy's like, Lisa called me to even style the shoe.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was.
It's like Lisa's trying to give you a scene on the show again, which you're being a bitch about instead of being grateful for. She's like trying to help you out here, lady. You know?
And Christina's like, why would you do that? Like, you hate all those people. I would never want to pick clothes out for people that I hate.
And she's like, no, but you should totally do it and put something on Sheena that's like five sizes too small. Yeah. I'm like, Christina,
that's right.
So cute of you, the person who's never in this photo shoot and probably still won't be again this week.
I know.
You sad little bitch. Why don't you just be quiet?
Yeah, we've had enough out of you, corpse bride. Sorry, I just got real catty right there. Sorry, it's not
like
me, bitch.
She does look like corpse bride.
Christina, how could you be saying those things? Babyface is right behind me. Why are you doing this to me? That's right. She's like, make Sheena wear something that's like five sizes too small. God, what a bitch. And she said some other things about other people too, about what they should be wearing.
And then she shows up to work and she's like, hi, why don't you tell me some gossip? So she can run back and tell Stassi. I mean, that is some sad shit because Stassi's not even going to be on this show next year and everyone's going to see what you did. And now no one's going to talk to you, dumb, dumb. And you're never going to take the place of Stassi. So why don't you just stop trying, okay? Stop waiting in the kiddie pool. Get out.
And then Katie is meanwhile is like, Tom got me a ring on a string. It's just like, it's not what I wanted. Like, I wanted an engagement ring, not a ring on a string. It's like, all right, here we go again.
Well, I'm sorry to go Dr. Laura on your ass, but you are not going to change a man. And the fact that you've been here for so long means that you deserve any kind of abuse that's heaped upon you, including that you're about to find out that your boyfriend has fucked half of Miami or whatever. You deserve it because you're still with him. Get some self-confidence. I mean, I know you go to LA Fitness. There's plenty of hot straight guys there. Why don't you try not talking for about 5 minutes and get one, girl?
Yeah, because Tom was like, yeah, my version of like a commitment at a wedding is getting you a dog and a ring on a string. And she's like,
and then he jokes about it. That guy's like, ugh. He's never going to change. That man is going to be cheating on you your whole life, forgetting Valentine's Day.
I feel bad.
Masturbating too much to make love. I mean, come on. We all know it's going to happen.
See, here's why I feel bad for women like Katie. And, you know, in some cases, sort of like women like Kristen, too, where, you know, their biological clock is ticking. And or in their mind it is. And so, as a result, they are like, well, I've invested this much time with this person. So, therefore, I want to see it through because otherwise I have to start all the way from scratch. And so, when she's like, I know this is the guy I'm going to marry, she's saying that mainly because she's like, because I've invested this much time in him and I don't feel like starting over. You know, and it's like, oh, like, I feel bad. I feel bad that women, there are
women
out there
that feel that way. Well, we all know what it's like dating in LA, first of all, because it's not like dating in Austin or somewhere else where I'm like handsome. It's different here. Like, people are, no one wants to grow up. No one wants to admit they're getting older or get married or, like, no one does that here until we're almost 40, it seems like. And girls like that, I don't feel sorry for because you're wasting your life getting wasted with some moron waiter instead of out looking for a real man.
Well,
if you want a real man, go find one. They're all over town. They're working at real jobs.
You know what? Katie is pretty. And even though we call her Horseface Number 2, she is pretty. And she can find
someone.
She's
pretty. She's just not pretty enough to be going on TV and calling herself a model and saying that uglier people cannot get her job as a waiter.
And the thing is that she can find someone who's cute like Tom or cuter, you know, who treats her better. She hitched her wagon onto the wrong mule and she
won't let it go. But you know what? If you give up those pieces of shit and you do go find a real man who does want to get married and have babies and has a job, guess what? They're as desperate to do it too. And if they find the right woman, it'll happen within a year. But you're not going to talk some broken-legged mule into climbing up a mountain because he can't do it. His legs are broken. Do you understand?
Exactly.
You're not going to fix a broken mule's legs.
Katie, drop him, and then next season you can come back and be like, oh my God, I am so over Sir. Like, I am so glad I left it and I have a new man, and now I'm going to just, like, be totally over it and then talk about it all season how over I am. See?
Yeah. Every year it could be some waitress who thinks she's getting somewhere in the world and then just gets really fat and gets pregnated by some rich guy.
I know, Stassi. I mean, good for Stassi for at least acknowledging that she's gained weight, but not that there's anything wrong with it, but...
There's not. I think she looks really good that way. It's just,
you know what?
It's just awkward watching Stassi because she has no self-awareness at all.
I think she doesn't look good like that, but not because she's overweight, but again, because she dresses so matronly that...
She was wearing shoulder pads and a giant chunky old lady necklace.
Exactly. So I think the combination of like the weight gain and this frumpy style makes it look like she's given up, if that makes sense. I'm not saying that if you gain weight, you've given up with anything, but the combination of this whole look is just kind of like this sad, like, you know, she's now making herself look like she's like 40.
She's trying mental in her mind. I'm looking at it as her jumping already into being a junior league woman with two kids and a rich man and a house in the burbs. And she's like taking on that personality. Unfortunately, none of that has happened yet. Okay. I can walk around giving Oscar speeches all day long, but I've never been in a movie. Okay. Yeah. It looks crazy. Stop it.
Yeah. Stop it. Stop it right now.
Stop it. You look like a crazy person, lady.
Yeah. Get off the TV. So, anyway, so eventually, Horseface number one orchestrates a meal at like one of those generic restaurants on Melrose that they always go to. It was Horseface and Jax, and was James there? I think James was there. And Sheena and Shay. No, James was not there, but Rachel, this girl Rachel, who's Kristen's friend. And basically Kristen starts like basically attacking Jax for not telling the truth about what happened in Miami. And finally Jax says, like, okay, well, here's what happened. Tom had sex with that girl in Miami.
Which is nothing new. We already knew that Jax was saying that. Well, we already knew, I guess maybe because we saw Jax talking about it. And there's no bombshell here. No. Jax is saying he was in the room having sex, but Tom said that Jax was down on the beach screwing some girl down on the beach and wouldn't know anyway because he wasn't there. So what is it?
It was like a bombshell moment, except for the fact that Jax is like a full-on pathological liar and nothing he says can ever be treated as the truth.
And he never saw anything anyway. But so what the hell? And Kristen goes, yes! And she's like sitting there with her cross-eyed smile and her like chin pulled all the way back and her like upper teeth jutting over her body like she does, or like forehead's pushed out and her eyes are crossing. I don't know if I can describe that very well, but I can do it really well. We need to have one video podcast just so I can do Kristen.
And so that way we can do the shoulder move too that she does.
Seriously.
But I'd like to also add that even though Jax is a pathological liar and you can't trust anything he says, Tom has also proven to be very good at doing a long game lie.
He's a liar, and he totally fucked that girl in Florida.
So
he totally did it. Well, my theory is that one thing that Sheena said stuck with me, and I'm sure she didn't mean it this way, and I take too literally what people on these stupid shows say, but when she was going off about it and saying, look, nobody cares, Kristen, okay? His girlfriend knows, and she doesn't even care. So what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if his girlfriend is just a little kinky and knows that he's going to be going to Miami. She knows he's going to be surrounded by all these people. And maybe they're like gay guys, and they have certain rules, and they can get like blowjobs or whatever. Like, I don't doubt that for a second. I don't know a couple lately that's not kinky, unless they've been together, you know, 20 years or something. But most younger couples I know are pretty open to a degree.
Right. Well, I like.
So I wouldn't doubt that. But the best line of the night, and I interrupted you again. No, I'm doing it on purpose this show.
Okay, please do it.
The best line of the night was when Sheena goes, look, Kristen, no one thinks you're crazy because of this. They think you're crazy because you chase a girl to Miami, and then you bring her here, and then you won't lock up. And then she lists off like 30 things. And she's like, that's why.
And then Kristen, I like Kristen's like, I'm sorry that your best friend has a boyfriend that cheated on her, but that's just the way it is. Seriously? Seriously? Seriously?
Seriously? It's like, I'm leaving!
Well, one of our listeners, Emily Tate Hawker, also brings up Horseface's best line of the night, which says, it's not about being obsessed with Tom, it's about being obsessed with honesty. Seriously?
Yeah.
Like, I'm obsessed with honesty.
Truth warrior.
Yeah, exactly. Like, someone, like, sent her to
the lady deleting texts about fucking Jax on a couch for a whole year.
Yeah, exactly. She's obsessed. I love this show. I love it. I'm sad that it's ending next week. Next week is the season finale.
I am looking at comments on the Facebook. Why was Yolanda sitting on the floor of the plane at Babyface's feet as he ate? Because that is Yolanda's woman pose. That's how Yolanda has made it in the world, by being fucking led around by men and just sitting there and like soaking up their success, okay? That's just what she does. If her husband's not around, she'll find the most famous man. If it was the fucking captain, she'd be like, oh, captain, I read about you in the Thrifty Nickel. And she'll sit at his fucking feet and stare up at him for a while. Sad ass woman.
I know. So sad. So
we're all going to Amsterdam, except you, Camille and random lady.
I know, Lynn. Lynn, you get to go to Azusa and hang out with Sheena.
So let me see what else here. Yolanda's orthorexia nervosa. That is the clinical term for people like Yolanda who hide an eating disorder by disguising it as eating healthy. Mm. I like that. Mm. I disguise my eating disorder by talking about eating all day long. Yeah. Does that count?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you rather get jaxed or petered? Ugh.
Petered.
I don't know about that. He just doesn't get as much screen time. He's just as disgusting, I'll bet you.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't feel like he's a pathological liar, which somehow feels better.
Yeah. But you'd have a lot of hair in that drain. God. Yeah. Every time you took a shower, you'd be like, why is the water coming up to my ankles? Because your fucking husband won't clean the drain out after he showers. Like Kyle. It must be like living with Kyle.
But the fact that he has such bad game is kind of sexy.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I've given up.
I feel like you have to have like amazing game or no game at all. But anyone in between, it's like, no.
I have really good game when I'm drinking. But then I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I was playing game on the wrong person. I think I need to just like drink less. But then I don't want to have sex with anybody if I'm sober. Oh, the dilemma.
I have always had a very awkward game. Like just really like
that's
bumbling.
Part of your game.
No, but it was never... It was never a good game plan, I tell you. I had many, many awkward game moments that involved me like smiling and nodding and then eventually quietly walking away.
The game. I'm not. I get all like total confident top in my game. I pick one out and then I just go up and I'm like, hey, baby. And I start talking like that. Like I put on this act and mm-hmm. it works every time. But eventually you got to wake up and be yourself. And I'm like, yeah. Hey, what are you doing?
I once
and they're like, I'm never getting a boner again. Bye.
I once had a super confident game. One time I had the most amazing game. Like it happened once. I was at this random event and I brought a friend and I think the friend thought we were on a date. And it was really annoying because there was a guy there that was hot and we were like checking each other out the entire time. But like I couldn't like go talk to him because I had this friend with me and the friend was treating it like a date. So we were leaving the venue and eventually I was like, you know what? This is fucked up. I refuse to like walk out of here. I was making eyes with a hot guy. I refuse to just let that go. So I told my friend, oh wait, can you wait here for a second? I have to go inside, go to the bathroom. So I went back into the venue and I knew I only had about like a minute, like 90 seconds, you know, to find this hot guy or whatever. So I walked up to the guy and I was like, hey, I think you're really cute. Here's my number. You know, text me. And I walked out. It was like this, just a very quick, like, boom, boom, boom. Like, I'm not even giving you a chance. I'm not even going to give a chance for do a flirty. I'm just going in and saying this. Yeah. And I, like, walked out of there and my heart was beating so fast. I was like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that. And then he texted me.
That's really good, actually. That's not awkward.
I know, but, like, I can't do that normally.
I do, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just, like, kind of grossed out with just being gay lately because I told you like a couple weeks ago I had so much fun that my penis came back to life and aww. I've been losing weight and I've been healthy and exercising and just eating great and my attitude's changed and I've started like going out and seeing guys and
look at you.
I don't know, it's like all coming back to life, but they're all disgusting, okay? And like dick pic. Every time I open my phone, it's someone's dick. It's like the new emojis. I don't even have to ask how they are because I could tell by their dick, okay? Uh-huh. It's like, it's a sad and rainy day. I have a sad and rainy dick pic on them. I've got like, I'm an excited to see you pic. It's like ready to bulge out. You know, it's like, stop with the, who does, why do we need that?
Who does that?
Like, can we just like make out for a while? And I feel like there's so much pressure to be weird. Like if I'm not going to pee on somebody or shit on their chest or something, I'm not going to find a husband. Like have gay guys had that much sex that we have to like lick each other's armpits to get off? Really? Because I can still get off with some good old fashioned penis slapping. I mean, what the hell, gay guys? Mm-hmm.
I know.
It's too advanced. It's like, well, let's just all calm down a bit. How about gay guys put down the porn? Probably all men. Because, you know, my girlfriends also complained about their men not being able to get it up. And so I watched this TED Talks about porn addiction. And everybody's just, no one can get it up to have it with real people anymore because they're fucking the internet so much.
Yeah, I believe that.
Let's just all give up porn and see what it's like when our dicks come back to life. Okay? Yeah. Stop looking at your phone and wait for your penis to stir.
Exactly.
All right, that's my goal. I'll let you know how it goes next week.
And in the meantime, everyone send Ronnie a dick pic to make him feel better.
Put it on our Patreon page, Stunning.
Yeah. Yeah, Patreon. Donate with dick pics, and that will...
If you don't have dollars, you send me some dick pics, and I will send you some ringers.
Yeah, exactly. Or cock rings. whatever you want. It all works. Oh, my goodness. Well, on that note, Ronnie, well, I hope the dating scene gets a little better for you. Take them to Sir.
You know, I think I'm just not meant for humans. I think I'm meant for a good sex toy and some, like, romantic Julia Roberts movies and just alcohol. I'm just going to become another drunk, washed up. But I need to get a career first so I can be washed up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No,
it's over. Sorry I talked about that.
But love is hard. Love is hard in L.A. What can I say?
You're my best friends, everybody. Love's hard in L.A. It is. Because also, I'm like, there's a syphilis explosion going on. Like, you can't just go out and have sex with people because Lord knows they've all had sex with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want their syphilis explosion. I saw missing noses on the internet. There will be no syphilis in this home.
No, none.
Unless they come out with, like, one of those little, like, pieces of paper that you put in someone's mouth when they're doing Atkins to see if they're in ketosis or whatever, like you pee on it or whatever, to see if someone has syphilis explosion. Or LAIDS.
I know. Something just happened with Madonna. It's blowing up Twitter. Just so you know.
Let's talk about it.
I'm going to press play right now. It's some video.
Well, hold your earphone up to the thing.
Okay. Hold on. She's singing. Oh, Madonna fell down a staircase! Oh, no! Oh, my God.
Poor Madonna.
Oh, no! This is as good as... This is like when Castro fell down a staircase. Oh, my God! I'm telling you, everyone look it up.
Are people laughing their asses? People are so rude.
I feel bad. I actually feel bad. It looked like it really hurt. She, like, fell down the staircase. That woman is 90 years old. She can't be falling.
Someone wrote, it's like seeing an old lady fall off the bus.
Oh, my God.
Such dicks, man.
This literally just happened the past, like, minute. Oh.
Someone put, is there a vine of Madonna falling? Ben, get on that and get it on Twitter, darling. Your social media will explode. It'll be like a syphilis explosion, but with likes.
Chef Penny, quickly, put a cake under Madonna.
Come on, Ben. Get on it. I know your vine's on it. You've already got it pulled up on your computer.
Okay,
vine that shit
right now, man. I have it. Here, let me...
Finger on the pulse, darling. Finger on the pulse.
Let me get the link. This is from Nick Walsh.
All right, you do it. So, of course, Nick Walsh has got the finger on the pulse, speaking of. Hurry before fucking Nick Walsh does it, because you know it's coming.
You want me to put this on the page?
That's Nick the intern, for those of you who remember. Yeah, put it on the page. Okay, so while you're making your vine, I'll do the closing. Everybody, thank you so much for listening, and especially those of you who are supporting us by going to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and donating, because we are actually able to do this more and work less, which has been amazing. We're close to our goal of $1,000, which means we'll be doing 2 free episodes a week. Our benefits are free bonus episodes. This week's all Grammys and me complaining about how white Neil Patrick Harris is and all that good stuff. You can also get ringers and a Google Hangout that's super fun. Actually, we should pay you for that because it's more fun for us, obviously. And please come to our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, to talk shit with other listeners and post your own housewives links and read ours. Please read my Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recaps, Night Of, at Trash Talk TV. Find Ben's other podcast, The Banter Blender, where he'll be talking about Madonna falling down the stairs for the next 10 weeks. Stunning. And I think that's it for all our social media links, our Twitter, Facebook, blah de blah. Go to our watchwhatcrappens.com page, where it's just a list of all of our shit. So go there. And I think that is it, darlings.
All right.
I'm adding it. Good.
I'm adding the vine right now. So people, here it is. Although you probably have seen it already by the time you get to this part of the podcast.
Tweet that at my Trash Tweet TV and I will retweet. Let's get that trending, darling. Everyone is saying, is there a vine of Madonna? Tag it, vine, Madonna, and follow me, please. Like, I have to teach you how to tag.
Yes.
All right, everybody. So there you go. Until next week, let's hope no old people fall downstairs.
Yes. Darling. Except for Brandy. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.